The law of contrast. How do you create that extra value? What is the law of contrast? When you hear that things are too expensive, you've blown your presentation. When you get to the price or the value of your product or your service, the reaction should be, that's it, that's a great value. You have to build the contrast. You have to build the value. Are they comparing your product or service to a Rolls Royce, or are they comparing it to a used car? What is the perception? That is your key as a persuader, is to build the value. Don't fight on price. Less than 6% of the things we buy are bought on price. Your goal is to build the value, to understand consumer behavior. See, the law of contrast, let's just think about this. Have you ever taken your car to the mechanic and he tells you that you might need new brakes, a new transmission, a new fan belt, and the timing sounds off? You go away thinking, man, I'm sunk. I might as well buy a new car. And he comes back and tells you, you just need new brakes. You feel happy. You're free. You only have to pay $300, and you thought you were going to have to pay $3,000. But imagine if he told you that he could fix it for $50, and the bill ended up being $500. That's the law of contrast. You see, the law of contrast explains how we are affected when we are introduced to two vastly different alternatives in succession. We know that contrasting two alternatives can distort or amplify our perceptions of things. You know, generally, if the second item is quite different from the first, we tend to see the object even more differently than it actually is. So as a great persuader, you can use this contrast to steer your audience toward an object of your persuasion. The use of contrast is based on our perception of items or events that happen one right after the other. If you've had a rotten day because you found out you're losing your job and you come home to a new scratch in the car, you have a vastly different reaction than if you were having a great day because you're getting a promotion and then came home to a new scratch in the car. It's the same scratch, but there are very different perceptions and reactions to it depending on your day and your personal circumstances. Time can erode your ability to use the law of contrast. Key to this law is that the two contrasting items must be presented one right after the other. This has an effect on group meetings and decision making. If your great idea comes after another great idea, it won't have the impact it would if it had followed someone else's poor idea. Now, likewise, if we are talking to a beautiful woman or a man at a party and we're joined by an unattractive woman or man, the beautiful person will seem even more beautiful and the less attractive person even less attractive. It's all about human perception. You see, the human mind has to find a benchmark of comparison to make judgments, especially when we are talking about unfamiliar situations. People need to make comparisons with their past experience and knowledge. By presenting your prospects with contrast, you are creating those comparisons for them. The mind can't process anything at once. It develops shortcuts to help you make decisions. Instead of making a completely internal judgment, we look for boundaries, patterns, and polar opposites. We want to know the difference between our options, so we naturally contrast the two items. We mentally place things in our mind from best to worst, first to last, or highest to lowest. So what are they comparing your product to? You get to decide where you want them to start their benchmark. When we do our 3-day boot camps, I'll actually pull a $20 bill out of my pocket, and I'll sell it to somebody for a dollar. And that becomes a no-brainer. That's an easy decision. They don't have to think about it. And that's where you need your product or service. That the value's there, it's like spending a dollar to buy a $20 bill. And then on the flip side, I'll take the dollar bill that I got for that $20 and I'll sell it for $100. Wow, can you do that? You bet you can. You can build value and add value to that. And we're going to explain how you do that. But it's all about that perception. Again, when people say it's too expensive, they've blown it. It's all about human perception, what they expect. Doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong, you need to understand expectations. Let me give you an example. My wife loves to play the piano, so as a gift, bought her beautiful grand piano. We have children running around the house, and sometimes those two things don't go together. So we had it probably a week or two, and then all of a sudden, four of the keys quit working on this beautiful new piano. So we get the Yellow Pages out, we call a piano repair person. He shows up, and he looks at the piano, he looks at the keys, lifts this thing up, does this, pulls out a pencil, shuts it, plays it, it's done, it's perfect, it's good to go. Of course, I'm feeling a little stupid at the time, pretty easy, probably something I should have figured out on my own. Now, let's talk about perception. This took him 30 seconds. My perception is, wow, he probably shouldn't charge me, he was only here for 30 seconds. His perception is, hey, this is 30 years experience, I drove all the way over here, they deserve to pay this bill. Now, I would have paid the bill, but I probably never would have called him back because that was beyond my expectations. But he knew what to do, and it was beautiful to watch. He said, you know what? A simple thing, but it happens all the time. The only reason I know how to do this is 30 years of experience. It happens to a lot of people. And I tell you what, I'm not going to charge you for this visit, but I do tune pianos, and we'd like to tune them every 3 to 6 months, so here's my card, and I'd love your business. So simple. And he's tuned our piano for years. Do you understand how this works? Contrast is critical. When using the law of contrast, keep in mind the powerful differences between positive and negative information. Psychologists have asserted for years that people automatically and subconsciously have extremely high expectations for good over bad. Because of this consistent tendency, negative information, when it comes, always seems to be given considerable weight because it is such a jarring contrast to what is expected. For example, have you ever had a salesperson get you all excited about some incredible product you were about to purchase? Everything was perfect. You were thrilled with this product and what it was going to do for you, and it's going to improve your life. And then, bam, they hit you with the price. Then suddenly this hefty price tag, this one little negative detail outweighs the product's 20 terrific features. Negative information has taken precedence over all the positive information. In fact, now it's consuming your thoughts. You drive home only able to think about how the precious item's going to cost you an arm and a leg. So what do you have that will add value to your product or service? You see, contrast works in many arenas. You could contrast just about anything and immediately see its effect. Now try this experiment. Get 3 buckets of water, one filled with hot water, another with cold water, and another with room temperature water. Soak your feet in the hot and cold buckets for 30 seconds, then place both feet in the warm bucket, and you'll be shocked with the results. The foot coming from the hot water into the room temperature water feels cold, and the foot that was in the cold water going to the room temperature water feels hot. Same bucket of water, but one foot feels hot and the other foot feels cold. This is a law of contrast. Any product or service can be contrasted to appear very different from what it actually is. Even in negotiation, we train negotiators with contrast. Contrary to popular belief, sometimes it's okay to make the first offer because that sets the level of the whole negotiation. Law of contrast is also critical in negotiations. One aspect of contrast is sweetening the pot. How do you triple the value of your product? And what you're doing is making the deal look sweeter than maybe it actually is. That is making the prospect believe they're getting a great deal. Show them that they can get a great deal. What can you add on as an incentive and as a bonus? And don't throw in some lame bonus you don't really want. People will purchase your product or service just for the bonuses. That's how incredible they need to be. So what do you have? A report, a larger discount, free delivery, gift wrapping, batteries, extended warranty, free consulting, a teleconference? What is it? Whatever it is, use it to create and contrast a higher value. Think about the infomercial you saw last night on TV. You watch them display and demonstrate the product, and you start to get interested. You begin to think about how this product would really make your life easier, but they haven't told you the price. But finally, when they do, it is much higher than you thought. You were hoping to spend around $99, but the announcer said it was $499. Your heart drops. But you keep watching because you're really getting into this product and how it will change your life forever. Wait a minute. There's a special deal today. A temporary price reduction. This is your lucky day. Now they're offering it for $297. It's a good deal, but still a little expensive. Wait, hold on. They're adding 3 additional items to the package? That makes it a $350 value? You can hardly believe it. You get over $800 worth of products for only $297. Now you're interested, just getting ready to buy. You're getting your credit card out. But wait, it's even better. If you order now, you can make 3 easy payments of $99 for the next 3 months. Wow, you can't believe your luck. You were only thinking of spending $99, and you spent triple that amount, $297. Why? Because of the law of contrast. You were going to get over $800 worth of product, and the deal kept getting better. It got sweeter. This law is critical for you to understand when showing others the value of your product. No one buys unless they feel they are getting the value for their money. So when you sweeten the pot, you add bonus items so the deal becomes more and more valuable. We can all learn an example from a high school bake sale. When the cashier told one group of customers they could purchase 1 cupcake and 2 cookies all together for 75 cents, 40% bought. Now, the second group of customers were told they could purchase 1 cupcake for 75 cents. And when they purchased that 1 cupcake for 75 cents, they got 2 more cookies as a bonus. Same deal, but the sales went from 40% to 70% of the customers purchased cupcakes for 3 for the price of 1 technique. It's all in the presentation. You need to sweeten the pot. This technique used in supermarkets and other advertisements when a company plans their packaging strategy to show the contrast between before and after prices. You see this all the time. Diapers that say save 20% slashed out, replaced with 30%. Or maybe you see, buy five and you'll get one free. Or you might see the 16-ounce slashed out with the new 20 ounces for the same price. Whatever form it takes, this is an example of sweetening the pot, the law of contrast in action. It isn't the actual price that is paid, but the add-ons that seem to make the deal sweeter. The same thing happens with the insurance sales rep. They present you with the initial offer. They begin to take deductions based on your circumstances. So they start off with a high price, like, ooh, but they've set the standard. They set the value. But they say, look, so you can see that you're getting a better deal. So what happens, they start taking deductions. Oh, you're a non-smoker. Oh, you're this age. And so they started high, and they've built the value, and then they go down to the price you're actually going to pay. Now, if they would start at that price, the value wouldn't be there. It's just like in the mall candy store. You know where the stores where you buy 1 pound of chocolate? So you go to the store, the young lady at the counter scoops up the chocolate and places it on the scale. She notices you don't have enough, and she starts to add more, and you start to get excited, and you feel like the value's there. Now, what if she poured too much chocolate on the scale and started taking it away? You would feel a little violated. You wouldn't feel as satisfied as the first scenario. That is contrast. Because you have to understand, when your clients, your patients, your customers, whoever it is, see your product or service, they are going to assign a price to it unless you do. For example, if I have a CD, some people might say, well, I can make one of those for a dollar. It's an audio CD. Some might say, well, you know, most music CDs are $15. Some might say, well, I paid $20 for one. Somebody might say, well, I could do it for 50 cents. I'll burn my own. So you have one CD that could go from 50 cents all the way up. Let's say I'm selling it for $100. Would somebody pay $100 for your CD? And the answer is absolutely. If I don't build the value, some people are going to think it's worth 50 cents. But if I build the value and say, this CD will give you the 7 secrets to persuade anybody, anytime, anywhere, of course, that would be worth thousands of dollars to that person. And then there's reducing it to the ridiculous. How do you create that perspective? This technique involves paring down your request to something that seems more manageable to your prospect. Let's say you're trying to convince someone to purchase a life insurance policy. They want a $250,000 policy, and you don't feel that's high enough for their needs. To take care of their family, you suggest a $500,000 policy. And your client feels that the monthly payment for a $500,000 policy is too high. So you break it down for him, telling him it's an extra 50 cents a day or the cost of a can of soda. He can insure himself and adequately take care of his family if something were to happen to him. With this contrast, your client can see that the extra 50 cents is worth it to have the extra $250,000 in coverage. You have reduced your request into simple terms where your prospect can see it fitting into their life. Sometimes it is a good idea to simply give your prospect a different frame of reference or to merely shift their focus slightly. This is kind of the glass is half full idea. Levin and Gath conducted a survey where they gave samples of ground beef burgers to two groups of tasters. The burgers were exactly the same, except one slight difference in the advertising strategy was employed. One group was told the burgers were 75% lean, and the other group was told the burgers were 25% fat. Now, obviously, the group that was told the burgers were 75% lean rated them leaner, better quality, and better tasting than the other group that had 25% fat. And the 25% fat group said the burgers were fatty, greasy, and very low quality. Same burger, two different responses. And listen to this example. Two doctors and the way they contrast the exact same thing. And of course, the compliance results will be much different too. First doctor, you know, I hate to tell you this, but the test confirmed that you have extremely high blood pressure. You're most likely going in to face some serious complications, and it can turn into a life-threatening situation. You've got to make some dramatic changes in your lifestyle right now. You need to change your work situation, your sleep patterns, how you eat, and your exercise program. Doctor number two. You know, well, overall, you're in pretty good shape, except for your blood pressure is a little higher than we want it. I'm really glad you came in so we can work together on some preventative measures. Actually, there are millions of Americans who have high blood pressure, too, so we know some steps you can take to bring it back under control. If you follow the steps I outlined, you will quickly see and feel an improvement in your overall health. That's contrast. And of course, most people would be more willing to follow doctor number two than doctor number one. Because both doctors are talking about the same thing, but their presentations were very different. Doctor two made sure his delivery was positive, did not overload the patient with all the negative details all at once. The patient will need to understand the reality of the situation and all its implications, but an initial positive and general discussion will better prepare the patient emotionally and psychologically to properly deal with the issue. There was a university in Colorado, and they were having trouble getting their grass to grow on campus because students, of course, kept walking on it. And they'd put up signs all over the place, don't walk on the grass, don't walk on the grass, but students are students. And they ignored the request and walked on the grass anyway. So the university took a different approach. They put up another sign that said, give Earth a chance. Like magic, the students stopped walking on the grass. The university simply changed the perspective of students, making the issue an environmental one. Just like hotels. They no longer want to wash the sheets every day or wash the towels every day. And so they don't say, we don't want to do this because we want to save money. They'll put up signs everywhere talking about the environment and the waste and the pollution and the laundry detergent. That's a shift in focus. Another one was a experimental questionnaire administered to physicians. This one's pretty interesting. A group of physicians were posed with the following scenario. Imagine the U.S. is preparing for an outbreak of an unusual Asian disease, which is expected to kill 600 people. Now, there's two alternative programs to combat the disease that has been proposed. Assume that the exact scientific estimate to the program and the consequences are as follows. So, Program A. If Program A is adopted, 200 people will be saved. If Program B is adopted, there is a one-third probability that 600 people will be saved and two-thirds probability that no people will be saved. Which of the two programs do you favor? Well, if you notice in the wording that I use, the focus was on lives saved. And when they used that word, 72% of the physicians chose Program A over Program B. The same experiment was conducted again with a different group of physicians. This time the focus was on how many people would die. Imagine that the U.S. is preparing for the outbreak of an unusual Asian disease, which is expected to kill 600 people. And they were also told again, two alternative programs to combat the disease were proposed. And they said, here are the consequences. If Program A is adopted, 400 people will die. If Program B is adopted, there's a one-third probability that no one will die and two-thirds probability that 600 people will die. Which of the two programs would you favor? You can see that this scenario is exactly the same as the first, but there was a dramatic difference in results. This time, with the shift in focus, 22% of the physicians voted for the more conservative plan, while 72% voted for the risky plan. Another aspect of contrast is what social psychologists call DITF, or door in the face. See, door in the face is one of the most common techniques for implementing the law of contrast. Pretty simple. There's an initial large, unreasonable request. Most people are going to say no. The second smaller, more reasonable request is made. People accept the second request more readily than if they had just been asked outright because the relativity between the two requests makes the second one seem so much better. The technique is effective because social standards state each concession must be exchanged with another concession. When you allow a rejection, it is considered a concession. The person you are persuading will then feel obligated to agree with your smaller request. Researchers first asked college students to donate blood every 2 months for 3 consecutive years. That's huge. Every 2 months for 3 consecutive years. Now, that's a long-term commitment of time, but of course, physical and emotional responsibility. And everyone, of course, overwhelmingly turned that down. Then the next day, the same students were asked to donate blood just one time. 49% agreed. The control group, that's where the students were approached with the second request first, only demonstrated a 31% compliance rate. Now, let me explain this. When people were approached, will you donate blood today? 31% yes. When they were approached, hey, will you donate blood every 2 months for the next 3 years? No. Will you donate blood today? It went from 31% up to 49%. An interesting part of this study is as the students showed up to donate blood, they were asked if they would provide their phone number so they could be called to see if they'd donate again later on. Of the first group, that was a group that was given both requests, 84% gave their phone numbers. Of the second group, or the control group, where they were just asked to give blood that day, only 43% gave their phone numbers. You see, the main reason the door in the face technique is so effective is because the contrast between the two requests makes your prospects feel like they are getting more or less than they would have if they'd gone with the original offering. They feel like they've made a fair compromise, all while you're getting exactly what you want in the first place. Author Alan Schoenmaker made a very interesting point about this. A conservative first offer also creates the bargaining room needed for the mutual concession ritual. You give a little, they give a little, you give a little, and so on. You may regard this ritual as silly, but many people insist on it. If you do not perform it, they may feel you are not negotiating in good faith. It is far better for them to feel that they have defeated you, that they have driven you right to the wall. Lay the foundation for their victory with the initial offer that creates lots of bargaining room. And that's one thing we teach our negotiating students. You never accept the first offer, or you never accept the first offer too fast. Because if someone offers you $100,000, you say, I'll take it. Even though it's a good deal for them, they're going to have some type of remorse. They're going to think, wow, that was too easy. We didn't negotiate. What if I could have got more? And go back and forth, which increases their remorse. Another example. Pretend your local scout group is canvassing the neighborhood door to door to ask for donations to the scouting program. They ask you to donate $200, saying that all the other neighbors have donated this amount. After some discussion, you give them $50, and you feel lucky that you got away giving less than your neighbors. Contrast. Now, in these examples, the second request seems much more logical and reasonable in comparison to the outrageous first request. We are creating a perceptual contrast whereby we are defining what we think and what the standard of comparison should be. When the second request comes along, it seems much smaller than the first request, and in our case, much smaller than the request would seem when presented alone. I have a lot of fun with this in my university class when I teach persuasion. What I have them do, and if you get one of these in the mail, don't believe it, is I have them write mock letters, they're not supposed to send them, to their parents asking for money using contrast. They were instructed to create a scenario, so the request for money seemed very inconsequential. Let me read one of my favorites. This is from a daughter to her parents. Dear Mom and Dad, I hope this letter finds you both well and happy. I wish I could say that is how I feel. I know you love me, but it's hard to come to you in such an embarrassing situation. Now, I don't want you to worry too much. You know, I can see Mom now already skimming through the letter to find out exactly what is wrong, so I guess I'll cut right to the chase. I'm really worn out, but I'm getting better. At least I have a place to stay, especially during the cold winter weather. The last couple of weeks, I've been sleeping on the streets looking for food and shelter. I finally met this nice man who is letting me stay in his room for free. It is sure nice to have a roof over my head, but sometimes I still get wet at night, though, because there's a crack in the wall on the side of the bed. But with five of us sharing the room, we've got some body heat going, and that helps us out. We hope that between the five of us, we can make rent this month. They sure have been nice letting me stay here and letting me keep out of sight. It seems there's some type of worn out for me, and I'm unfortunately on the run, as they say. I'm afraid I can't tell you exactly where I am. I don't want to endanger you with too much information in case the authorities come to question you. As you may guess, I'm in a desperate need of a large sum of funding, so I can settle my accounts before another more ruthless party begins to hunt me down. I was hoping for, but not counting on your assistance. I know I've done wrong, but I plead for your forgiveness and prayers. And then she says, just kidding. I wanted you to see my problems in the proper perspective. I crashed my car last weekend. No one was hurt. I did have $300 in damage to my car, though. I was wondering if you could send me the money so I could get back my feet. I love you forever, Jill. That is contrast. Again, if you get one of these, ignore it because it might be one of my students. Now, just to review in the negotiation process and the door in the face, it's a very powerful tool. You can watch any skilled property developer. You may look for the quality properties that have been on the market for some months, often because the seller's high price of $500,000. So to drive down the seller's expectation, the property developer employs an agent who, acting anonymously, displays great enthusiasm for the property and makes a very low aggressive offer, say maybe $350,000. Of course, the seller's very angry and they reject it. Then the real developer moves in and offers a much more reasonable price, say $430,000, which after some negotiating is accepted. Labor negotiators frequently do the same thing. They begin with the extreme demands as they expect those to be turned down. Then they repeat a series of smaller demands or concessions which will be more easily accepted. These smaller demands are the real target of the labor group. The door in the face technique can also save you from lots of headache and hassle. You can get people to go from hating you to thanking you for the exact same thing. For example, when I assign my college students a 10-page final paper, it makes the students tense and vocal. They complain, time, length, font size, yada, 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 on and on. You name it, they bring it up. And I get tired of the complaining, so I change the way I approach the subject of the paper. I use contrast. I use this principle. What I do is I bring up the paper and wait for the moans, but then I tell them it's a 20-page paper, and they have to include the following. I go down the list. The uproar starts 20 pages. There's no time. The excuses start. And then I graciously acquiesce and tell them that if they promise to do a great, concise paper with the proper research, I will only make it 10 pages. The cheers erupt. Everyone is happy. The students see the 10-page paper as a great deal compared to the 20-page paper. Now the students thank me rather than hate me. And many times we can fly under the radar with the contrast principle. You ever heard about JND? Stands for Just Noticeable Difference. That states that the minimum amount of difference in the intensity of the stimulus can be detected. Okay, hold on. What does that mean? I'll tell you. How much can you raise the price of a product without anyone noticing? How many ounces can you take out of a can of soup before people start to catch on? Can we really tell the difference between 21 ounces and 20.25 ounces? Many marketers would rather change the packaging and offer less of the product than resorting to charging more. I mean, look at yogurt. The yogurt sizes of the containers are about the same, but if you look underneath, they make the packaging so they don't have to put quite as much yogurt in there because of the way the bottom is set up. Because most people just don't notice the difference. We think we're getting the same deal. And just the opposite is true. If we want to promote a new, larger size product or a significant price reduction, we want to pass that threshold and make the change extremely noticeable. This is also true for taste. Companies want the best taste for the lowest cost. The quality of the ingredients causes people to notice or not notice the quality of the product. Contrast also goes to shopping carts. For example, when you go to a Sam's Club or a Costco, notice the size of the shopping carts. People buy more with bigger carts. Again, law of contrast. Or there's the comparison effect, ways to take their temperature. This is closely related to door in the face, except that instead of presenting an outrageous request up front, the persuader presents his prospect with an undesirable form of what they're looking for. Then, when the good, or even mediocre, item is presented, the prospect grabs a hold of the offer a lot faster. The comparison effect focuses on how the prospect is able to compare two options simultaneously and come to the conclusion that the second option is really desirable. Let me give you an example. Some real estate companies maintain what they call setup properties. These are run-down properties listed at inflated prices, which are used to benefit the genuine properties in the company's inventory by comparison. Agents show customers the setup properties. They take them there first. They show them, and then they go to the homes they really want to sell. Now, both are listed at the same price, but the setup property was run down, it was ugly, it was no good. Then they show them a different home that is at the same price, and the strategy works just as well, and there's such a contrast between the two, the second one actually looks better. And the comparison principle comes into play in our everyday lives. It can even influence how we perceive our physical attractiveness of our partner. Arizona State and Montana State Universities tested to see if we might think our own spouses or partners were less attractive because of the media bombardment of very attractive models. Now, in the study, students were first shown pictures of models before rating the attractiveness of members of the opposite sex who were not models. These students rated the non-models as significantly less attractive than students who had not first looked at the pictures of the models. In another study, sales for billiard tables were monitored to see whether upselling or downselling was more effective. For a number of weeks, customers were shown the less expensive tables and then shown the more expensive models. The average sale worked out to be about $550 per table. Then the second half of the experiment, customers were shown top-of-the-line tables, priced at $3,000. After seeing the most expensive tables first, the customers were gradually shown less and less expensive tables. This time, the average sale turned out to be over $1,000 per table. After seeing the really nice high-quality tables, the low-end tables were less appealing, so customers tended to buy the higher-priced items. You see this in audio video stores. You see an ad for a $1,000 TV. You go in to buy the $1,000 TV. They're going to show you the $20,000 HD TV Dolby surround system that is incredible. You're not going to buy that, but you'll probably leave with a $3,000 television. Now, there's another example with funeral caskets and funeral directors. Now, funeral directors have been attacked because they exploit the law of contrast to get families of the deceased to spend more money. Directors show the deceased family the expensive model first, and then they show them a very plain, cheap, old pine box. And they know that the family members are grieving and will do anything for their loved one. The grieved loved ones are often shocked by the contrast in the two caskets, rebound back to the more expensive casket. These principles can also apply when you're in a position where you have to compare people. The law of contrast is constantly at work, even influencing judgments in a job interview. If you first interview an outstanding candidate, then immediately following you interview someone who is less favorable, you will be inclined to underrate the second person even more than if you had not interviewed the outstanding candidate first. Now, the reverse is also true. If the average candidate follows someone who has interviewed very poorly, you may view that individual as better than average. So how do you use the law of contrast? Let's try to simplify this for you. Now, the first thing is start high, but not so big that it's totally unrealistic. You have to find a way to back up the number, but it needs to be big enough that you know you're going to get a no. Then follow this initial request with smaller offers that bring about the result you really desired all along. For example, fundraising organizations often send letters asking for donations in amounts that are usually pretty high for most people's pocketbooks. Soon after the letter is sent out, the organization places a follow-up telephone call. The person making the call asks if the letter was received and then makes a request for a smaller donation. And you have to look at timing. For contrast to be effective, it's important that the two options or offers are presented one right after another. Researchers Dillard and Fern argue that the timing between the initial and follow-up request influence the successfulness of using this technique. So in order to increase compliance, the delay between the two requests must be short. If there is too much of a delay between the first request and the second request, your prospect, patient, client, customer may not realize that you're comparing the two items or requests, and your ability to persuade will decrease. The effects of timing play a key role in people's reactions and the actions they take. Let me give you an example. Let's say your 12-year-old son took the family car out for a joyride and was brought back by the police. You're upset. You're mad. But on the flip side, what if you found out that your 19-year-old son took the car out for a joyride 7 years earlier? In both scenarios, you discovered the same news, but your reaction would be entirely different. You can see how the passage of time dulls the impact an event or situation can have. The same holds true with your requests. The passage of time will dull their impact. And you also need to look at the situation. Situation applies to most of the laws of persuasion, and especially the law of contrast. You have to think about the situation you are in before you can choose which method and to what degree you will implement this law. You see, it's easy to see that the feelings of a funeral attendee will be different than those of a wedding guest. Each event puts the attendee in a different frame of mind. So if you approach the funeral attendee with a happy, fun presentation, obviously their sentiments will not compare to yours, making the approach totally inaccurate and inappropriate. You can also determine the best time to bring up your topic by assessing each individual situation. Should you ask close to the time you want someone to take action or as far in advance as possible? The answer is, are you ready for this? The sooner, the better. When the event is farther in the future, you should make your request as soon in advance as possible. As the event approaches, the greater the anxiety and the realness of what you have to do sets in, and it'll be less likely for you to gain cooperation. If you need help with something right away, studies suggest that you should find someone who is not rushed or preoccupied with something else. The ability to gain cooperation from someone who is not under a time constraint goes up dramatically when compared with someone who is preoccupied or feeling rushed. Automobile dealers use contrast all the time. They wait until the final price for the new car has been negotiated before suggesting other options. So if you bought a car for $20,000, what's another $200 for undercoating? Or $300 for a CD player? Or $1,000 for an extended warranty? The best way to do this is to bring up the extras independent of one another. After you've already bought a $1,000, $2,000 couch, what is another $70 for fabric protection? They would never lead off with the fabric protection or the CD player. Your prospect will always pay more for accessories or add-ons they buy after the purchase has been made. And airlines always contrast news to you one piece at a time. They will say there's a slight delay, and they think that we'll be ready to go in a few minutes. And then another announcement comes on. Well, you know, everything's fine, but we don't want to take any chances. We're going to have to replace a part. Another 15, 20 minutes. Another 15, 20 minutes. Another announcement. Another 15, 20 minutes. These small announcements in relation to each other keep the passengers calmer and more peaceful than if the airline just came right out and said the truth, it's a two-hour delay. We also see that the contrast technique used at large amusement parks. I know this has happened to you. If we hear ahead of time how long the line's really going to be, many times we won't get in. Then you look to see how long the lines are, and then finding them reasonable, you get in. You think you're almost out, you're going around, you're almost there. And then you turn the corner, and there's another set of lines with ropes and people. And then finally, 2 hours later, you're in the front of the line. Another example of charity is when solicitors call for donation, they begin by asking you how you are. You usually say, fine, doing well, thank you. After you've announced that your circumstances are favorable, the solicitor then proceeds to say, I'm glad you're doing so well. I'm calling to see that if you would make a donation to help the unfortunate victims of, and you fill in the blank. Then what happens? You don't want to seem stingy or unfeeling, especially now that the solicitor has reminded you of your easy life compared to those that his company is soliciting for. In one study, 18% of the people donated when they were approached with the initial, how are you doing this evening, while 32% donated when the initial greeting was used. Simple. Use the law of contrast. So a few pointers is you want to separate the gains. If you're sending out a box of material, separate it into a couple different boxes. We know that when you win $25 and then win $50 brings more pleasure than winning $75. Remember, When they say it's too expensive, you've blown it. You don't understand the law of contrast. When you get to the investment, it's up to you as a great persuader to build a value so they say that's it. Even if they can't afford it, they know it's a great value and it's a great deal. Master the law of contrast.